And welcome into our audio cast for Monday, June 30th, 2008 from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Brought to you today by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb, and today we have with us Captain Karen Kahn. She is a 30-year veteran jet pilot and current author, motivational speaker, and life coach. Her recent book, Flight Guide for Success, is a valuable tool for aspiring pilots and is an essential resource in making the aviation industry even better for our next generation. Good morning, Captain Karen.
Good morning.
May I call you Karen?
Oh, please do.
All right, good deal. So you're up and at 'em early in California this morning. Now, do you work out of your career counseling office there, or are you still an active airline pilot?
Oh, very definitely an active airline pilot. I just happen to have a few days off, so try to do the counseling in between flights, and actually when I'm on the road, we do a lot of it by phone, talk with people, try to give them some good advice to move them along their route.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's just introduce you to people a little bit. Let's go back. You've been in the airline business for 30 years. Let's even go a little bit further back than that. When was that moment that you can recall in your life where you made a connection to aviation and you knew that was something you wanted to go toward?
I had a friend who used to fly, and when I was 19, I was talking to him about airplanes, and he said, well, if you want to learn how to fly, you go out to the airport. In those days, you gave him your $5. I think now we're probably up to about 50. Mm-hmm. I took an introductory ride, liked it, thought, gee, how neat to do for a living what you like to do anyway.
Excellent. So you took that ride and you pursued it. You were what, in your teens then, I guess?
I was 19. The year was about 1968. It took me about 9 months to earn enough money to complete my private pilot lessons. It was much like it is today. I would do some work, get enough money, race out, go take a few more lessons. And, of course, when I got to the solo cross-country part, that was the expensive part, so that kind of slowed me down. But didn't deter me. I knew that when I wasn't flying, there was a lot of books I could be reading, magazines I could be scanning. And eventually, in June of 1969, I got my private.
Well, you're like a lot of young people that select this early as a career. They're just like a sponge. They just soak up everything aviation.
Oh, exactly. And it was very shortly after that that I figured out if I could find a way to hang around the airport, that was how I was going to get ahead and get more flying. So eventually I went to work for the local fixed base operator, doing anything I could, from, you know, bookkeeping to sweeping floors to hanging around the shop. And eventually finished up my instrument rating in my private. One day a guy came in who was actually a broadcaster in the San Francisco area. He'd been renting airplanes and decided that it was time to buy a 182. He had an older one, and I kind of had the idea in my thought, well, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So I said to him, you don't know it, but what you need is me to work running your new little business that you're starting, a film production company, and somebody to fly your 182. To my surprise, he agreed, and that was my first job in aviation, flying a 1960 Cessna 182, and got a lot of great experience, and quickly realized that I wanted more. I ended up thinking, well, if I want more flying, I better go back and get my CFI. Not that I wanted to teach pilots, but I thought if I knew more, I'd be more comfortable.
Sure.
So in 1971, I finished up my CFI and ended up over at Sierra Academy and got my double I, and to my shock and surprise, was actually hired as their first woman instructor.
All right.
So the first year, I flew about 800 hours. I was that sponge we were talking about.
Right.
Kind of burnt myself out, but learned a whole lot really for myself and thought, you know, I want more. Unfortunately, we were in the days when nobody was hiring anybody. So I ended up doing a bit more work and eventually started my own weekend ground school teaching pilots how to pass their written exams. Was actually in Oklahoma at the time, figured out that most of the business was in California. So ended up moving the business back to California. And in about 1977, when the airline started hiring, I applied and was very pleased to be hired at my current airline. I was the fourth woman hired there, and I was off and running.
And which airline is that, do you mind?
That was Continental Airlines.
Okay.
And been there 31 years, started as a 727 second officer.
Mm-hmm.
And moved up eventually to first officer. They had some furloughs, ended up out in the Pacific flying on their Air Micronesia subsidiary, which was quite interesting. And then came back to flying domestic, and they had a labor dispute in 1983, which put me on the street, and I ended up getting some very good experience flying corporate,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think there was any way I would have voluntarily taken some time off, but this was kind of a forced look at the hard realities of walking the streets and trying to find some jobs in aviation, and did a lot of interviewing with airlines, who, of course, were thinking, gee, we don't want to hire you because you'll probably go back to Continental, and they were right. 3 years later, after the strike was over, I did go back. But in the meanwhile, I had a very interesting job flying a Jetstar.
Mm-hmm.
Lockheed Jetstar was actually the first woman type-rated in that.
Right.
Did a lot of domestic and international flying, and learned that what I really enjoyed was airline flying.
Mm-hmm.
So did get a good look at both types of aviation, corporate, and airline, and ended up back at Continental in 1986, and have been there ever since. Upgraded to the MD-80 and was captain on that for about 15 years, and have been flying the Boeing 757 and 767 for about the last four.
Is that a lot different between the 72 and the 75?
You know, one was actually supposed to be the replacement for the other. Of course, you've got two pilots instead of three. You've got all the power you need. The 757 is a real pleasure. It's
mm-hmm.
a nice airplane, and I enjoy flying it. So I think it gets kind of the award in my book for, you know, something that's comfortable. I know a lot of passengers are a little more concerned about the narrow tube effect, but...
Mm-hmm.
As a pilot, I very much enjoy it.
Right. Well, you were an early pioneer in female captains. Did you have any trouble at first before people got used to that?
Well, you know, actually, my upgrade to captain was kind of delayed because I was out on strike for quite a while. But I think people had a good notion by the time I came around, because I certainly was not the first at my airline. I think right now I probably am the last of the old, originally hired women pilots at Continental, so I guess I, you know, claim the senior status there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most times, you know, people, once they understood and once you recognized of yourself that your job is not to be popular, your job is to get the job done.
Right.
And to communicate clearly to everybody. I think of myself as a real team leader. If I think about what it takes, for example, let's just say I want to, you know, go early because we've got some forecast problems that I think could slow it down, be it headwinds or whatever. The number of people you got to coordinate with to make all of that comes together is always amazing to me.
Well,
I'm also a light airplane pilot, and very honestly, I fly a Baron. And I got to tell you, it's a whole lot more work for those of us in general aviation to coordinate all those things than it is at the airline.
Sure, absolutely. So just to show you how far we've come, obviously, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Thunderbirds, this last group of Thunderbird pilots, there were two females.
That's correct.
And there was probably some proud parents circulating this email that came across my computer in the last year or so, of an all-female KC-135 crew flying over in the Mideast somewhere, refueling airplanes over there.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that several times, and
yep.
I always smile and say, I think the military actually did it quite a few years ago. I've seen that as well. I know the airlines have done it. Many years ago, and I still, however, find it's fairly rare when I get to fly with a woman co-pilot.
Really?
I always joke and tell people, you know, the airplane doesn't know the sex of the person who's flying
right.
it. When they do, I'll stop.
And it doesn't know if it's in the clouds or out of the clouds.
Exactly.
Very good. All right. Well, look, I want to talk about your book a little bit. It's to help aspiring commercial pilots. And it is very timely because of the looming pilot shortage that we keep hearing about. Do you what is the reason for this shortage that you see?
I think a lot of the shortage is purely based on age. Although we have raised the maximum retirement age to 65, you've still got a lot of pilots who were hired and at this point are coming to their 60s and will shortly make the decision of whether or not they actually want to go on. So we're going to end up needing more pilots. I think fewer and fewer people are getting into it thinking this is a great way to earn a whole lot of money, because realistically the salaries are not what you might see in the business world. And it's something for people who have a real passion. And, of course, we as pilots who love to fly hope that's the type of person we will see in our cockpits.
Absolutely.
The book Flight Guide for Success is a collection of articles that I wrote to help people who were looking to get into the business and move up, particularly those who might be wishing that they could go further and not quite sure what was keeping them back. And it's pretty logically arranged, starting out from the beginner to the advanced. We recommend it for anybody who's interested. Actually, you know, it works for anything you're passionate about. It doesn't even have to be aviation. I tell people if you're interested in business or medicine, take the same book, take the same articles, and just substitute the word for the aviation. But we find that if people have an understanding of how others see them in the field, and that there's a lot of people out there who are willing to help you and move you along, but you have to demonstrate to them that you're worthy of that assistance. I think the most frustrating thing for those of us who have come a long way in aviation is that we'd love to pass on our assistance to somebody like somebody helped us, but finding somebody who's really worth it is tough. So we're waiting to see, you know,
sure,
they demonstrate that they can really do or take your advice and run with it.
Now, the book addresses the best routes to becoming a pro pilot, qualifications, count, how old is too old, are the days of cockpit discrimination over, how to handle blemishes on your record. But just briefly, so they can get a little taste, what are some of the joys and pitfalls that prospective pilots, commercial pilots, may not be aware of?
I think a lot of it's recognizing, particularly in this day and age, how important looks are and how you come across to somebody on paper, even though you may be completing an online application. I have a lot in the second half of my book, which I kind of think of as, you know, the advanced section, but I'm real interested that people starting out read this so they understand now its importance. But the only way you have to present yourself to somebody that you are not physically standing next to is, of course, on paper by what you write and how you say it. And the importance of that is something that I talk a lot about in logbooks, resumes. How are they going to view you? Are they interested enough in what they see to call you in for an interview? Because that's, of course, the, you know, the golden apple you're looking for is somebody picks you out of the crowd and says, yes, I want to interview you. Now, as you build up to that, all of the things behind that that comprise your career and your accomplishments are very important. So I talk about, you know, marketing yourself, finding quality jobs, you know, making good decisions and looking at your own record as you actually live it to say, hey, there's a good example that later on when I need it, I'm going to tell people about the time I managed, for example, to pull the group together at the local burger shop where I work to show that I do have some leadership skills. The flying these days is so often something that people rush to get as much as they can in as short a period of time as they can so they can race off to get that job.
Sure.
And of course, I'm always encouraging people to look local, look at your own facilities, get some real variety of experience. Because for us as airline captains, of course, the worst thing is to fly with somebody who has nothing other than straight school learning.
Sure.
And frankly, if I got to spend 3 days with somebody who, you know, took cross country A, B, and C, and, you know, only had 72.6 hours of cross country time, etc., I'm much more interested in flying with somebody who's had some interesting times flying freight, who's,
right.
you know, scared himself a couple of times doing a few things that weren't quite in the book, and which is not to say you should go do those things.
Right.
I'm saying you should get some individual experience. But what we're looking to do is let you make it, take advantage of those experiences and keep building. And also, how do you sell yourself? Because you got to distinguish yourself in aviation to get ahead. They hire the people they know and like, and that's your job, is to get to be known.
And if a prospective applicant needs a little help, you can help them at your website, right?
We can help them. We always suggest they buy the book, Flight Guide for Success. Go to the website and order that. That's flightguideforsuccess.com. And if they'd like an autographed or personalized copy, we're happy to just have them let us know. But the book answers all of the common questions. And since our goal is to save you time and money, we really prefer not to do any one-on-one personalized counseling until somebody's read the book and knows that information. That way, if we are doing a counseling session, we don't have to repeat all the things that are in the book.
Sure.
We can save them time and money. We can spend the time talking about their particular situation and how do we move it forward. I think they'll find there's a lot of interesting articles. A lot of times you say, oh, yeah, that's me. People who have blemishes on their record, how are they going to explain them later? And, you know, it's not the fact that you have a blemish. It's how you talk about it and really what it is you learned from it
right.
that makes a big difference to the person who's hiring you.
Now, once we've read the book, we can head over to your other website?
It's actually one website. It just has two ways to get to it. It's
okay.
Aviation Career Counseling.
Okay, that's the one I had.
Once you've read the book, then we say if you've still got questions, take a look at the section on basic counseling, or if you're over 400 hours, go ahead and look at the advanced counseling. You can download the paperwork, fill it out, and that's an interesting test for us. We say to people, please fill the paperwork out just as if you were applying to an airline, because we want to see how you come across to a prospective employer on paper. And then mail it on in to us or fax it to us, and what we will do is get back to you and set up a time for a counseling session. Run about an hour to an hour and a half via their call to us at a prearranged time. And during that time, we talk honestly and impartially about what's out there, what you can expect, what are the ways to getting to your goal as quickly and inexpensively as possible.
Excellent. Karen, we're out of time, but I have enjoyed talking to you. I'm going to read the book, and I hope we can talk again in the future.
Good. I will look forward to it.
Because I'm going to especially pay attention since I have a kid in flight school, and we don't want to make any expensive mistakes, and I assume you can probably do that pretty quick.
Oh, you bet.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for your time.
You're so welcome. Enjoyed it, Mike.
And once again, two ways to get to Karen's websites, www.flightguideforsuccess.com and aviationcareercounseling.com. Today's audio cast was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. You can check it out online at aviationsafetymagazine.com. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.